always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
This is one of those cases right now that we're seeing in public policy where the government seems to be catching up to where society is. And I'm specifically talking about the war on drugs and marijuana in particular. There's probably a marijuana dispensary, a legal one around you somewhere, but you may be surprised to find out that's still federally illegal. So how is this happening? And the bigger question is, where do we go from here? I'm Mike Ferguson. Our friends at the R Street Institute have a really good kind of breakdown of the pros and the cons and what to look for. It's just simply entitled Cannabis Rescheduling, Winning the Battle, but Not the War. And I'm now joined by Jillian Snyder. She's the director of their criminal justice and civil liberties program. They're also a retired police officer as well. And Jillian, first of all, thanks for being on the program here. So let's lay the foundation. We've heard the Biden administration has talked about rescheduling marijuana to a lower level drug, and other presidential administrations have talked about that. It's been a political conversation for decades, but now it looks like it's actually going to happen. So if and when that changes, what actually changes when it comes to cannabis or marijuana?
So thank you so much for having me on the show. With the rescheduling, we are still going to see it as a Schedule 3 narcotic or controlled substance. So it is still technically federally illegal. We're simply just now recognizing that it will no longer be Schedule 1, meaning that it's, you know, the most harmful, has no type of medicinal use, and instead it will be just rescheduled down to 3, which will allow research to be conducted on it. It will also allow for more medicinal prescriptions, veteran use, etc. But again, I just want to emphasize that the rescheduling is not really doing anything truly effective for most of the country, because as we know, states are implementing their own cannabis laws, and a lot of them have already legalized it or at least decriminalized it. So we're still seeing this inconsistency between federal and state government.
Yeah, let me ask about that, because we're told so often, sometimes incorrectly, well, federal law trumps state law. And so if the federal law doesn't allow it, the states cannot allow it. But about half the states in this country have legalized marijuana to some degree, medicinally or recreationally as well. If it's illegal at the federal level, how can it be legal at the state level? And what's that distinction?
So the federal government mandates the minimum, basically. That's how we should always look at it. And if we wanted to look at the current states that have legalized it or some form of adoption of reform, we have 24 states currently that are allowing adult use cannabis. We have 38 states that are allowing for medical or medicinal use. And then we have 31 states that have technically decriminalized possession. Now, decriminalized is different from legalized. Your average person wouldn't really know that. If it's decriminalized, it's still technically statewide illegal. It is an arrestable charge, but the government and law enforcement have collectively decided this is something that we're choosing not to enforce. But the states are technically allowed to, you know, do what they will as long as it goes through the proper legislative process of bill introduction and bill passing. The states can do it, but here's the problem, because we do still have this federal, you know, Schedule 3, or what we will soon have federal Schedule 3, we're not going to be able to see banking. You know, there's going to be a lot of issues down the line. We're not going to disrupt the illicit markets because states have legalized it, but we're not seeing formalized federal regulation. States are doing whatever they want, essentially taxing it the way they want it. If you have two states that the left state has legalized cannabis, the right state doesn't, we're still not allowing for interstate commerce. So it's just, it's so inconsistent across the board. I think states are just trying to do what they believe the voters want. And most people, if you talk to people, 90% of the American public believes that cannabis should be either legalized medicinally or recreationally. The federal government just needs to catch up.
And so is this reclassification, this rescheduling, I mean, is this a step towards catching up? I mean, is this the right approach when it comes to the overall drug policy, assuming we should even have a federal drug policy?
It's very incremental, and it's positive, of course. And anyone that has been working on cannabis descheduling, most advocates out there have just called for complete deschedule. I don't want to say that we're not supportive or, you know, happy that there is this rescheduling going on, but it's still, there's barriers in place right now. And it's saying, okay, we're acknowledging that it's a Schedule III narcotic. So we're acknowledging that cannabis has some kind of accepted medical value, and it doesn't have as much potential for abuse as it was previously looked at as a Schedule I, but we're still going to have the constant issues with small businesses that are trying to operate and trying to, you know, do things legally and put money in the bank. We're still going to have all of those issues. So is it a step in the right direction? Yes. Is it going to solve this inconsistency amongst federal and state policy? Absolutely not.
What is the right policy goal overall? I mean, if it's not a specific law, what should at least be what we're working towards, what we're at least trying to negotiate and compromise to get to when it comes to an effective, sane policy? Because there's a lot of people who just say, why in the world is this illegal at all? Just regulate it the way you do alcohol or something else. So what actually would make sense from a policy perspective?
From a policy perspective, the best thing to do is listen to the voters, listen to the constituents. And like I said a little while ago, most people think that cannabis is already legal because they've seen it legalized in so many states across the country. So just simply descheduling it would allow states their independent right as a state to either keep it illegal or to legalize it themselves. And I think that's what keeping it as a rescheduled Schedule III controlled substance is prohibiting states from moving forward. There are quite a few states in recent months, actually, that have tried to push that needle forward, have tried to, you know, legalize it within their state, but because their constituents don't necessarily understand this the inconsistencies between federal and state policy, it didn't move. But I think the best thing for us to do from a policy perspective is have the federal government completely deschedule it, and then, you know, obviously set up some type of regulatory structure, regulating agency, like you said, tobacco or alcohol type structure, and then let the states themselves decide what's best for them.
We are visiting with Jillian Snyder from the R Street Institute. I've got about 2 minutes left or so. Jillian, let me tap into your law enforcement experience. For those of us who are not users of marijuana, not users of cannabis, we may say, schedule it however you want. Doesn't matter to me. You've been on the law enforcement end of it. Does this make a difference? And does a decriminalization or push towards legalization, would this make our communities better, worse? I mean, will it vary from community to community? What kind of effect would it have on everybody, whether you use it or not?
So I myself have never tried cannabis. I am not promoting its consumption by any means. I'm just promoting less intrusiveness by the federal government. And I was a narcotics cop for many years. So I did actually arrest people back in my day for, you know, possession of marijuana, consumption of marijuana in public. The way that we look at it now, so many people just find it acceptable, socially acceptable to partake in recreational use of cannabis. There are no studies out there that imply that someone under the influence of cannabis is more prone to violence or more prone to criminal conduct. I also teach criminology at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. So based on the research and also based on my experience in law enforcement, I would much rather, you know, deal with someone who just smoked cannabis than say did some other really harsh drug recreationally. Cannabis does not make people violent. It does not make people hostile. So I do not foresee that if we move forward with ultimate descheduling, I do not think in any way that it would jeopardize public safety.
Okay, the article or the analysis is called Cannabis Rescheduling, Winning the Battle But Not the War. Where do we find that, or where do we connect with you, Jillian, in case people want to follow your work or your colleagues' work, Christy Smith, or just what happens at the R Street Institute?
So if you are interested in any of the work that my colleagues and I do, you could just visit us at www.rstreet, that's rstreet.org. You will see you could tag the Criminal Justice and Civil Liberties team, and there you could find all of the great work that my team and I do.
All right. Thank you so much, Jillian. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great day.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.